The Bible reading today is, of course, from Proverbs. In your pew Bibles, it's pages 636 and pages 642. We're starting with Proverbs 22, 1 to 9. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. And Proverbs 23, 4 and 5. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Proverbs 28, 6 and 8 through 8. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a rich man whose ways are perverse. He who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. He who increases his wealth by exorbitant interest amasses it for another who will be kind to the poor. And Proverbs 28, 18 to 22. He whose walk is blameless is kept safe, but he whose ways are perverse will suddenly fall. He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, yet a man will do wrong for a piece of bread. A stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him.
Thank you, Marty. Well, it's Father's Day, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to speak on a topic related to Father's Day, because we're going through the book of Proverbs, and as you know, it's something which has a number of themes as we've been starting to go through the different themes, and today the theme is money and wealth and what it can buy. Skills for living, how to live wisely in this world, which the book of Proverbs is really all about. A few years ago, back in 1997 actually, the PBS documentary on affluenza brought to light the reality that our culture is geared to the pursuit of wealth and consumerism and what it can buy. And so it's coined a name, affluenza, that it's actually a serious issue affecting the whole culture. And so the pursuit of more is what it's all about. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that. In fact, the book of Proverbs, when it deals with the issue of money and wealth and finances, is actually quite positive. It has some negative things to say. It doesn't say it's wrong, and nor does anywhere else in the Bible say it's wrong to have wealth, nor is it wrong or a sin to be poor. In fact, in Jesus' day, you remember in Luke 14, when Jesus spoke to the people of his day, the Pharisees believed that God's blessing meant that you would be rich, and if you were poor, it was actually a sign of God's displeasure with you. But that is simply not true, and Jesus cut through that and showed that not to be true. The whole of the Bible affirms that it's not a matter of how much you have or don't have, it's the heart that matters. Love of money is the root of all evil. And so as we look then at wisdom and wealth, we recognize that the man who wrote these proverbs down and recorded them for us today was probably the most wealthy man who has ever lived on planet Earth. Every year he received an estimated way over $1 billion worth of money, gold, and gifts given to him, and excises that he had from among his people and from other nations. And he ruled for 40 years, and so his assets would have been incredibly large. In fact, Solomon, it says that he had so much gold and silver at his fingertips. All his vessels that he drank from and ate from were all made of gold. In fact, one scripture says that gold was as common as pebbles. And so you have people today still looking for the King Solomon's mines and where he has stored all his gold, because there was so much at the time. But remember that Solomon chose, when he had the opportunity, wisdom, not riches. And in choosing wisdom, God also gave him great wealth. And that says a lot. In fact, that comes through a lot in the Proverbs that he writes for us today. At a church board meeting, facing some really perplexing issues, the leader said, "You know what? We need the wisdom of Solomon to sort this out." And immediately an angel appeared in shining light and said to the leader, "You know, you have been such an example to the flock, and you've been so good in your behavior and unselfish in every way. God's going to reward you, and you can choose between having abundant wealth or great wisdom." And the man immediately said, "Wisdom, give me wisdom." "Done," said the angel, and he disappeared in a puff of smoke and a lightning flash, and he was gone. And there was dead silence in the board meeting. And all the people looked, all those on the board looked at the leader, and they were waiting for him, this man now who had been given this newfound wisdom, profound wisdom. What was he going to say? And there was silence, and finally one of the board members said in a whisper, "Well, say something." And the leader said, "Well, I should have taken the money." Well, truly, wisdom, if you've got new wisdom, that may not be the choice, because wisdom is more to be desired, the Bible says, the Proverbs say, than gold and precious silver and all the precious stones. Everything, wisdom is way above that. Anyway, let's look then at wisdom in dealing with our wealth. And the first thing I'd like to point out is that from these Proverbs is that wisdom in our attitude towards wealth is so important. You see, it is a matter of attitude and heart. What God looks on is our heart. And that's why it says in the New Testament that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money, or for money, that is the root of all evil. So we find, first of all then, that we are to love God, not our wealth. And you may have wealth, we certainly do, compared with some many, many countries and many, many peoples around the world. We are a wealthy nation. And so God says in Proverbs 3, verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth." Honor the Lord, love the Lord. The word honor means just to love and to honor him with your wealth. Money so easily can become our God. And what I mean by that is that when we make important decisions based on money, not what God's will is, where that is the major factor, where money controls our lives more than God controls our lives, then God is lower down the list. Money is at the top. And so that is putting money above God. That is idolatry. That is not loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Money and finance and what it can buy, consumerism, can put tentacles around our hearts and squeeze it to the point where we don't even realize it's happening. You know what? What is the best test to see if I really have a problem with money controlling me, not God? It's when my attitude towards giving. Because when I'm a generous person, not just giving my tithe and giving to real needs that come, but in just in general in life, that if I'm a generous person, if I'm a giving person, it sets me free from the love of money. Love of money can be so seductive. And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. The poorest people in the world can have a real passion to make money, and that's their God. Or the most wealthy person in the world can have a love for God that's supreme over all else and still be blessed and have a lot of money. So in Proverbs 21:26, we read, all day long, this person craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. Get that? There's a contrast there between the person who craves for more and the person who gives without sparing, generously. What a contrast. Proverbs 3:9, I already quoted to you, but I'll go on and read the rest of it. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your crops, the very best, the top lot. Give the best to God. Love God with your wealth. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim with new wine. Now, that is not a promise. The Proverbs are not promises. They are observations of wise men. Someone has called them snapshots of reality. They're descriptive. And so this wise man looks at life and he says, you know what? When people love God and put God first, when they honor God with their substance and give him the best, you know, he continues to fill their vats with new wine and he continues to bless their crops. And so they are blessed by God, because that's what normally happens. That's an observation of this wise man. The righteous, it says in Proverbs 13:21, are rewarded with good things. And Proverbs 22:4, we had read to us, true humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and a long life. So, one of the proverbs I really like is Proverbs 10 verse 22, where it says, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, that's saying this, that when a person loves God and God, blesses and gives riches to that person, then that wealth doesn't carry sorrow or pain or problems with it. Because the man or woman's heart is right with God and God blesses them. When God blesses a person with riches, then there's no sorrow attached to it. And the obvious implication is that when we seek riches and run after it and that becomes our God, then there's a trail of pain and hurt, and that's so often true. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. Put God on the throne and then let God provide for you. So the first one is love God, not your wealth. The second one is trust God, not your wealth. And I love these verses in Proverbs 18 verses 10 and 11. It says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. And many of us have experienced that, if not all, at times in life when we've trusted in God and He is so trustworthy, dependable. We can put our faith in Him and He's like a tower that fortifies us. We are protected by God. The name of the Lord, that is all that He's revealed to be. He is loving, He is good, He is powerful, He is eternal, He is wise, He is everything that He is His name. And His name, it says here, is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The very next verse says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. So the choice is, do I put my trust in riches and wealth for my safety, for my protection, or do I put my trust in God? The Philippians, in the book of Philippians, we read that they gave to Paul, he said, none of the other churches gave to me. He was trusting God for his income so he could live and so he could continue preaching the gospel. And none of the other churches helped, but the church at Philippi, it says again and again in the last chapter of Philippians, they gave and gave and supplied his need. And you know what he then says in the next verse? But my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He says when you give and give and give and you've helped me, then God will continue to bless and provide for you. You can't outgive God. Look at your dollar bill. I was going to get you to pull them out. You got a dollar bill on you? Hold it up. You don't have to, but if you got one, somebody could hold it up. Then you got to look at it. And what does it say on it? In money we trust. In God we trust. And how we need to look at that every time we go to spend a dollar bill or more. All right, let's move on. Seek God, not wealth, is the next one. So love God, not wealth. Trust God, not wealth. Seek God, not wealth. Don't be greedy. And this is talking about more is never enough. That is so important to remember. More is never enough. There's so many stories to tell of people who have proven that to be true, sadly, in their lives. When they think that by getting more, that they will be satisfied, and then it's never, ever enough. And so they end up very often getting into abusing themselves with drugs and alcohol and messing around with other people who are not, they're not married to and so on, because more is never enough. All day long, it says in Proverbs 21, verse 26, all day long he craves for more. Verse 27 of Proverbs 15, the greedy bring ruin to their households. The greedy bring ruin to their households. It affects family life. It affects your marriage. It affects your home when you're greedy. And I love Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9. Here is the wisdom of Solomon. When he looks at life, he says, this is the way to live it when it comes to money and wealth. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Provide me only with the food I need or my daily bread. Lest being full I deny you, he's saying to God, and saying, who is the Lord? Or being in want, I steal and profane the name of my God. He says, I don't want to be rich and I don't want to be poor. I just want to be content with my daily bread. And what did Jesus say? To pray every time we pray, to approach him in saying, our Father, give us today our daily bread. I'm trusting you for my resources. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10, I want to read these words to you because they are so powerful in relation to this. Godliness with contentment godliness, walking with God, living the way God wants me to live, with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, daily bread, if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So rich and poor, we are all prone to or tempted to be greedy. All right, let's move on. Seek righteousness above wealth. And this is another area in the Proverbs that Solomon writes and says, hey, you know, it's far better to be a person of integrity than somebody who is crooked and yet rich. And righteousness is often rewarded financially. As it says, trouble pursues the sinner, but the righteous are rewarded with good things. And a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. This is his take on life. This is this wise sage of a man looking at life and saying, that's where it's at. When you seek integrity and righteousness. You know, so often money, the desire for money leads to a lack of integrity, a lack of righteousness, that they lie and cheat and do things because of the financial gain to it. And he's saying, no, turn that around. You live your life righteously and live, be a person of integrity, and that is far better. You will find that out to be true in your life. So that's wisdom. And the next one is recognize the limitations of money. And I just want to mention that. There's a couple of verses will go up there. But wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Money is only temporary, and what it might buy is only temporary. We look not on the things that are unseen, but on the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal, says the Apostle Paul. Next, wisdom in our gaining of wealth. We have a challenge here. Because when God is using this man Solomon to communicate with us about being wise with our wealth, he is saying there's only one real way to make money, to gain wealth, and that is work for it. The work ethic. Now, I'm going to be dealing with this as another theme through the book of Proverbs, and that'll come in a few weeks' time. But for now, just to mention that it is what God has set in place, that honest toil, the work ethic, is what God has called us to. And we should trust God for a job if we don't have a job, and pray for people who are out of work so that they can work for their income and be blessed by doing that. So he talks here about not chasing fantasies. We had a family that were in a church down the road, but we knew them quite well, and we had quite a bit to do with them. Then they came to our church at a time when they got mixed up. This is way back when the scams from Nigeria started flooding around, and people weren't aware of it and got caught up with it. Well, they got caught up with one. They were told, they had this email saying that they had an estate from some long lost aunt in England, and even just listening to it, you thought, oh yeah, right. But they got caught up with it, and they believed that they had £1 million or more in England waiting for them. They had to go to England, which they did. They didn't have much money. They were very, they didn't have many resources at all. And so they scrounged a fare together, and they both flew across to England. Then they had to come up with some money to actually release that money. Yeah. And then they had to, in order to get the money, they had to fly to Bali, which is a, like a, in Indonesia, it's a resort place, tourist resort, to go there because the person with the money had to take it in bills through some means to Bali, and they believed it. And we're telling them, listen, this is a scam. But they were so caught up with the thought, this must be real, they wanted it, that they were blind to it, and they lost so much and lost face as well. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Wealth, it says, a person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty. So don't chase fantasies. Don't chase fast money. Wealth won quickly dwindles away, but gathered little by little, it grows. Now that's wisdom. Gambling. Gambling is an issue. Gambling is really a means of engendering in us a desire to love money. It is get rich quick. Don McNay, a financial consultant to the lottery winners here in the US and the author of the book Life Lessons from the Lottery, says it's the curse of the lottery. He coined this phrase, the curse of the lottery, because it made their lives worse instead of improving them. The curse of the lottery, so many squander their fortunes and wind up unhappy or broke or both. 70% lose all they gained in the first few years. Others meet tragic ends like divorce and suicide and death and family estrangement and you name it. And so the idea that you'll get rich quick will be the answer to your problems is not true. The plans, it says in Proverbs 21 verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. The next one is don't be lazy. And I'm going to be dealing with that when I deal with the whole work ethic. So we'll come back to that then. And the final one is don't live for pleasure. Chapter 21 verse 17 says, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. So it doesn't mean that, obviously, that those things are bad, but it's that if your life is geared and focused on just enjoying life and pleasure is your goal and God, really, then you'll come to financial ruin. And lastly, wisdom in the use of our money. I wanted to get through to this before I finish. So let me quickly say that God calls us to be responsible. The more wealth we have, the more responsible we are to do something with that wealth for others. And you look at it through the New Testament even. And you find, like, let the thief no longer steal, but rather, it says in Ephesians 4, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him help those who are in need. Work with his hands that he may be able to help those who are in need. So the whole idea is working so that you can help others. Gaining income so that you can help others. And the book of Proverbs is full of this. The idea of generosity and giving is huge, especially to the poor. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. 14:31, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the poor honors God. So it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the New Testament take on this is command those who are rich in this present world to do good and to be rich in good deeds and be generous and willing to share. And so Proverbs talks about the generous will themselves be blessed. So when you are generous, when you, God blesses you with wealth above what you need for your daily bread and daily living and insurance and mortgage and everything, that when you then give to those who are in need. When you're generous, you will yourself be blessed, for they share their food with the poor, it says in chapter 22, verse 9. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And the last proverb I want to quote is 28:22. The stingy are eager to get rich and unaware that poverty awaits them. Improve your standard of living or your standard of giving. What will it be? We sing that hymn, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. And as the team comes up, we're going to sing that song, but I find that's a hard one to sing without being challenged. Oh, we can sing the words and our mind's out of gear. But if we really think about the words and sing them, can we really sing those words? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Let us sing this as a prayer. Let us sing it as a response to God, saying we love Him. And if we're challenged and we know that we need to reorder our priorities and love God above everything and be more generous in giving, then may it be something that we'll take with us. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold.